it's Ken Moore with the Ken Moore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing this fair week?
Fair week.
Yeah, how has it been? How's everything going?
I haven't stepped in anything in a barn yet.
Okay, very, very good. And you haven't melted, so you're still here.
Yeah.
So it's been just about perfect out there for it. So
it's been a little warm, but not bad.
Yeah, so hello to everybody out there today, and you got a little bit more time. Check everything out, and you'll probably see me and the kids out there later this afternoon also. So. Well, last week we always like to start with our crazy real estate story. Mm-hmm. And last week I think Smokey and the Bandit were dodging some foreclosure payments.
Yep, Burt Reynolds.
But this week we're going to go not to somebody in trouble. We're going to go to the other end of the spectrum. Well, he's not in trouble yet. But former Massachusetts governor and Republican presidential contender Mitt Romney has added a little something to his plate, and that would be a complete renovation of a $12 million home in La Jolla, California.
Mm.
Now, we're not talking, you know, imagine this, McKay. We're talking a permit filed to bulldoze the current 3,000-square-foot single-story house and completely replace it with a larger two-story home.
Wow.
So now, yeah, that. How about that for a teardown? $12 million teardown?
Wow.
So basically, they want to enlarge it. They've got a big family, 5 married sons, 16 grandchildren. But crazy to think that someone bought in 2008, purchased that property for $12 million, wants to do a teardown now. But, you know, I think he had a little extra cash, just kind of kicking around there because he had sold their, you know, their Belmont, Massachusetts house for $3.5 million, and also mm-hmm. had liquidated the Deer Valley Ski Lodge. So it's a little tough for Mr. Romney out there.
Well, they want to enlarge the house because of 5 married sons and 16 grandchildren. This is inadequate for their needs.
Oh, geez.
Put them up in the garage on a cot.
However, they did say he does want to wait until after the campaign is finished. So, you know, more important things to concentrate on.
Exactly.
So that is our celebrity news story and crazy news story of the week. But back to bringing it back local to Tri-Cities and focusing on what we've got here. We had a great response from last week's show and the first-time home buyer programs. We talked to quite a few people that had called in about that.
Mm-hmm.
We took two offers in on two of the three, of the pick three. So it was a busy week last week, and things were hopping out there.
Very good.
So thanks to everybody for the continued calls and referrals. And so this week's topic, and this comes up occasionally, and, you know, sometimes it comes up at the wrong times, but it just comes down to, and that is legal issues that can pop up in a real estate transaction. One of the big differences, and we always point out on the show, is that as a real estate agent, we are not licensed to practice law, highly mm-hmm. lose your license type of stuff. And so our documents are prepared forms that have been gone over, approved by various legal departments. And so our license doesn't allow us to give legal advice on those documents. And so when those issues pop up, we point to the experts, we get the attorneys involved, and we brought one in here today to talk a little bit about real estate and some of these issues. And that is Mr. Jeremy Bishop with Roach Law. Jeremy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, first time on the program. Thanks for subjecting yourself to this and coming in and chatting with us. So first of all, Jeremy, tell us a little bit about your background, Tri-Cities, how you ended up in Tri-Cities. Just give us the goods, how you got to where you are today with Roach Law.
Well, I've been living in the Tri-Cities since I was 10, graduated high school here. After law school, came back right away and started practicing law here in the Tri-Cities, and been here for about 6 years practicing law now.
perfect. Now, I think one of those things, one of the things that gives you an interesting perspective sometimes with real estate and building in that industry is you kind of come from that background a little bit in your family, correct?
That's right. My dad's a contractor here in the Tri-Cities, and don't tell OSHA, but I worked for him for a long time before I became a lawyer.
Nice. Very good. So, I kind of gave you a blank slate on this topic because there's about a million different issues and ways we can go. But just to kind of before we move on to that though, I don't want to negate your personal family. You've got a family, right?
I do. I have a wife and two lovely children.
Okay, perfect. All right. Good. So family man here, living in Pasco.
That's right. We'll be at the fair tonight. My daughter's performing dance tonight.
Okay. Very, very, very good. That's fabulous. So what we've got here is start us off. What are some of the things you see, coming on the show and giving you this forum of this is what I see happen and I could really help some real estate transactions and stuff go easier if this was done. Start us off with what you would say one of the biggest things is you see a lot of times.
Well, in my practice, I deal with family law, estate planning and probates, and also some real estate transactions. But I'd like to talk about mostly some of the areas where people don't think that they will have an issue, and it will save you, Lance, headaches down the road.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But the number one rule is, and this is because for most people, their home is the biggest asset they have, and so they want to make sure they protect it.
Right.
And you want to make sure that any transaction you go through, any issue you go through dealing with it, that you understand it, and if you don't, that you work with a professional. Sometimes that's just working with a realtor like yourself that helps the people understand the transaction better and know what they're doing. And sometimes it is going and seeing a lawyer, and sometimes it's a combination of both. But you want to make sure that you understand what you're doing. Don't take some shortcut that your buddy told you about, because most likely, if it's a simple solution and everybody else is telling you there's a complicated solution, your buddy's wrong.
I like that. Now, that's some good legal advice. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's probably wrong.
That makes a lot of sense for sure.
Now, sometimes it is easy, and there are easy solutions to a lot of these things that I'm going to talk about. But again, you have to know that there's an issue there to deal with first, which people don't always notice. And these come up a lot in life-changing circumstances. Of course, everybody knows there's an issue that they have to deal with when they buy or sell a house.
Right.
They don't always know there's an issue when something else comes up, like, say, unfortunately, a divorce.
Right.
If you go through a divorce, chances are that somebody's getting the house and somebody's not getting the house. It could be sold, and that could be part of the process. But in the event that you are awarded the house in your divorce, you want to make sure that that house gets into your name.
Right.
And that you remove your now ex-spouse's name from that house.
Right.
And there are a few ways to do that.
Okay.
They're not terribly complicated, but I see this all the time from people that have a do-it-yourself divorce. They don't get that taken care of. And then they come down the road, and they come and see you, Lance, and they say, I want to sell my house. And then you've got a sale ready to close and find out they can't clear title.
Right.
And remarkably enough, they don't get along well with their ex-spouse enough to get them to sign off in time for closing.
Not funny, but I can see, because I've been in these situations before, to where, yeah, either someone's moved or they're out of state and various things have happened in the meantime where, yeah, they are not cooperative with getting those signatures.
That's right. And fixing it on the back end is a lot harder than fixing it on the front end and getting it right the first time.
Mm. Boy, is that ever true. Yeah, we see that a lot.
So one of those is just simply a quit claim deed.
Okay.
Which the attorney can prepare, make sure it get recorded, mm-hmm. make sure that the necessary fees are paid to get that done. It's relatively simple. But again, have to make sure it gets done.
Have to make sure it gets done, because I've seen people claim there were quit claim deeds before. I've seen people have these not be recorded when we get to closing. I've also seen some of these fill it out yourself mistakes on writing the legal description in those do it yourself quit claim deeds. So I think I've seen, just off the top of my head there, four or five different scenarios that I can just think of that is a good reason to have somebody like yourself make sure that happens.
I've also seen quitclaim deeds where the wrong person is signing it.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. Oh. That's a, you've seen a lot more than I have, but okay, that would be a problem also.
The other way to solve it is in the decree, the document that says you're divorced. There's a part of that that's called a real property judgment summary.
Okay.
That can be taken as long as the property is, again, properly described and covered in that section. That can be done in that section. And if the property is in the same county in which you're getting divorced, you can then record that to clear title. But again, that has to be done exactly correctly. Otherwise, it's not going to be sufficient.
Right.
And then it's just a big headache when you got to go try to fix it later. You go back to court, you can have to appoint a special master who you then have to pay also, who then has to sign off on the appropriate documents to clear the title to your property. Big nightmare.
Big nightmare. So, and then on my end of the deal, what's happening is a lot of times these problems have crept up, you know, within 2 weeks of closing because we've gotten a title report back. They've brought up that issue from the title report. They've asked us how to fix it. And by the time that, on a 30-day close, we're 2 weeks into it finding out about us, we only have 2 weeks left to fix it. And I can imagine that not everybody's schedule revolves around this problem. And scheduling a court date and fixing it and those type of things very well could take longer than 2 weeks.
Very easily. Okay. You know, getting an appointment with a lawyer. We got a lot of good lawyers in this Tri-City area, but they're also very busy, and it's hard to get into any of us on short notice. And then there is legal requirements as far as timing and notice. And oh, by the way, we also have to do the work necessary to get you there.
Gotcha. So we've got some timing there and reviewing that. So that is a huge, huge issue. So Jeremy's brought up a great point about just title issues, life-changing events, and then using somebody like himself, as we would use a real estate agent in the transaction, using somebody like himself to make sure legally those items have been prepared right and recorded right. And it's great, great advice. I can't wait to hear what he's going to say in our second segment because it's already been great stuff. And so what we'll do is we're coming up against a hard break here. We'll take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll talk more about some of these legal issues, hit a pick three, and I'm sure wrap up the show with 20 things not covered. So we will see you right after this.
On News Talk 870.
City's Real Estate Update. We're here with Mr. Jeremy Bishop from Roach Law. We're talking about property transfers. We're talking about legal issues, some of the do's and don'ts that can pop up in a transaction and with title. It's always interesting, at least I find it interesting, to talk to an attorney because I know you have a unique perspective on a lot of things because usually something crazy has happened, but man, over the years, it must just give you a knowledge base of, yes, I've seen that. Here's what happened. I mean, we don't see it every day, but I imagine you see the same things come pop up all the time.
Well, in my practice, yeah, I see all of the things that went wrong.
Right.
Everything that went right,
right.
Never came to me.
Never came to me.
Because it didn't
At least not
to.
After the fact. It might have come to me beforehand, and that's why it's right.
Yeah, that's why it's right. Well, no, and that is a great perspective to have, is scheduling some time and doing a consultation like that to get it right can become very, very important. So before the break, we talked a little bit about divorces and title transfers there and life-changing events. That it's an interesting perspective. I like how you use that as the topic. I wish I would have had that for our promo. Thanks a lot. But life-changing events with an attorney and what you need to consider. So talk to us about some of the other issues you wanted to cover and some of the other things people see in real estate transactions that we need to talk about.
Well, the other thing in relation to a divorce situation is just that it's typically required that if you keep the house, you refinance it into your own name.
remove the other spouse's loan obligation.
That's correct, and that's the key. You have to be able to remove the other person's obligation on the loan. There's a few ways to do that. A refinance is, of course, a simple, kind of straightforward way, of course, that you're refinancing it on your own or with someone other than your spouse. Mm-hmm. The other is less common, but is does work sometimes, which is an assumption, where the bank just chooses to say, you are worthy enough of keeping this loan all on your own and will release the other spouse. Those aren't that often available, but they are to some people. And if you really like your loan terms, it's a great solution. One thing that's come up lately that we were talking about during the break is loan modifications. Now, some people know about these and have heard about these, and just recently I've been seeing cases where people are going through a loan modification and at least indicate that they've told the loan modification people that they want to remove their spouse's name as part of the process, and it doesn't happen.
Right. Mm. They're under the impression it's going to happen, but it doesn't.
That's correct. And I'm not in the middle of those, so I can't tell you who's wrong on that end, but it's been my impression and my understanding that those loan modifications are not being successful at removing a spouse's name from the underlying loan obligation. So, again, you want to make sure that you know what you're doing. You want to make sure that you talk to a mortgage professional and an attorney if there's anything complicated in that process, especially if you're going through loan modification, and you want to make sure you're complying with what the court said you had to do.
Right, and that's a big thing. And I know, mm-hmm. I know. In the past, I've used Jeremy as a reference. There are times when we have looked at short sales and release of the obligations of the notes, which are another complicated transaction. And Jeremy and I have been with those before, and I've gotten things before where we've gotten letters from the banks talking about the obligation and the short sale and the deficiency. And I've, you know, had questions before of, is this bank really releasing this obligation? Another thing to be careful about in a short sale. And so where we've had to take those letters and our clients have had to go see Jeremy and say, okay, is, you know, where am I at with this? What's your take on this? Mm-hmm. And that advice helps people make a decision whether they move forward with the sale or not. So.
That's right. Just another topic. Unfortunately, it wasn't on my list here, but that is very important.
That's a whole other show.
We're
going to have you come back for that.
Moving to another life-changing event, and that's death.
That does change things.
I'm just morbid today. Divorce and death.
Well, this is what happens when we have the attorney on. So
that's right.
Way to go.
That's right.
Thanks.
I just bring smiles. The first is, you know, if your spouse passes away. And this is the most common place where I see problems or people failing to get done what needs to get done, and that is still transferring title out of the deceased spouse's name. And again, this comes up when it comes time to have a transaction and close the sale, and the deceased spouse's name is still on the property. People believe that it's community property estate, so therefore when my spouse dies, I don't have to do anything, and it's not quite that simple. There's one document that folks can prepare in estate planning, which is a community property agreement that makes it rather simple in the majority of cases to transfer title after one spouse passes away. And that document can be recorded along with an affidavit in support of it to transfer title,
okay.
And that clears that up. In the event that you don't have a community property agreement, you can go through opening a probate. And it's not necessarily a huge and enormous and time-consuming and terrible process, as many people believe. Washington has a fairly streamlined probate process.
Okay.
And so it's not something to shy away from, because whether you do it now or do it when you go to sell the house, you're going to have to do it at some point if you were not able to transfer title with a community property agreement.
And my understanding is it's always a little bit easier when details and documents are fresh in people's minds and available.
That's right. You wait 10, 15 years, and it becomes pretty difficult.
And it can be emotional again, too,
when you move
past that. I mean, I found with clients that is a hard thing to – you've already gone through it once. Let's not go through it again.
And sometimes we see this also when the second spouse passes away and the kids are left with dealing with selling the home, and now both mom and dad's name are on the property. And they're both deceased.
Right.
So it really complicates matters in that case. So it's just important to make sure that gets taken care of on the front end. Similarly, if you are inheriting a piece of property from your parents or a sibling or some other family member, it's again important to make sure that you go through the right steps to get that transfer of title accomplished, which again is most commonly done through a probate unless there's some sort of trust involved. And that process can be relatively easy, not too much work. In fact, the real estate part of it is probably more simple than some of the other pieces of the probate process. So then that kind of brings me to the estate planning portion. It's important to think about what sort of transactions you may be engaging in the future, or what sort of problems may come up in the future when you think about preparing estate planning documents. Of course, most people think about doing this when they have kids,
right,
getting their will in order and taking care of all of that. But if you have property that needs to be transferred, and especially if you're a married couple and potentially have, well, not really potentially, most likely, one of you will not die together. One of you will die first. And so you want to be able to make it as easy as possible on that spouse. And in certain situations, it's appropriate to do the community property agreement. That's not always the case. There's a whole lot that goes into that discussion. And so I don't want anybody running out there and finding a form online, printing it, signing it, and saying we're good to go because Jeremy said so on the radio.
You need to have a consultation.
You need to have a consultation. You need to understand these documents before you just run off and sign them, because they do have serious consequences outside of what we're talking about here today.
Right.
But after consultation with a competent lawyer, you may decide a community property agreement's the best for us because it's going to make it very simple on my spouse.
Well, that's a fair disclaimer. I mean, I definitely think you would need to sit down, talk with somebody, because it kind of like when people think about selling homes, you know, we have a list of questions of where, why are you selling? Where are you moving to? What are we looking in your next home? I'm sure you have a list of questions similar that goes along with your consultation like that.
That's right. And one of the primary questions is, what's your goal?
Right.
What are you trying to accomplish? So we can make sure that that's what you're going to accomplish and that you're not going to create any new problems. The other thing, and this is where people do create problems sometimes, is when one of their parents is elderly and getting ill, they transfer the property to one of the kids to protect it from liens from various state agencies in the event that there's assistance for those elderly parents.
Okay.
There are all sorts of complications associated with that, including but not limited to taxes, and whether or not it will successfully protect that asset.
Wow.
There is a look-back period that has to be considered. So going to the nursing home tomorrow, transfer today, is not going to do you any good.
there might be some other legal issues with that.
But you do have a lot of tax consequences that I am not a CPA and would refer you to the CPA to talk about. But that includes changing the tax basis in the property as well as gift tax issues.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Well, that is a lot to digest. You know what's crazy, McKay, is sometimes we have guests on and I really have to kind of help them out and prime the pump and, you know, help them with their questions and stuff. When we get a lawyer in here, he seems to be able to talk and fill up the 30 minutes. So I think you're good at that.
That's one of the things they teach us in law school.
Oh, okay. Very, very, very good. Now, this might be an unfair question. I don't know. Maybe there's something public you could share with us outside of the realm of confidentiality, because I know attorneys, and there's usually they can't tell me anything about anything if I'm not their client, which is great. That's awesome that you guys do that. But we always ask our guests, what is one of the craziest legal things, or in your profession, you know, the pest guy tells us about the 9-foot boa constrictor in the basement. What, in your legal profession, or a story you've read recently, what's one of the craziest legal things you've seen come up recently that you've kind of rolled your eyes about?
Well, I guess in my own practice and dovetailing with real estate, two couples purchase a piece of property. They then transfer it to one of the couples who gets a loan, builds a house. They then do a short plot to divide the property in half, quit claim back the half interest to the original second couple, who then builds a house on their piece of property.
Okay.
And then foreclosure comes along for one of the pieces of property. Who's getting foreclosed on? Which house does the bank get to take, or do they get to take both? Again, talk to a lawyer before you make these transactions.
Yes,
honey,
wow. That is...
We're losing our house.
That's one of my favorite parts about the show is when people bring that in. That is... Oh my goodness, my mind is spinning right now with ideas, and I'm just so glad that I don't recognize that situation, McKay. It wasn't one of my deals. so anyway, that's what happens there. As we wrap up here, folks, we have a pick three. Like I said, it's been another great week out there property-wise. Mm-hmm. Couple things I want to point out. Number one is we've got a great new listing in Bend City, 1310 11th Street out there. This home's 1350 square feet. It's just three bedrooms, one bath, fabulous. It's got a big bonus room with it. They've updated the floors, mm-hmm. newer carpet in the bedrooms, and this thing's priced out there at $129,900.
Wow.
So for those first-time homebuyers that we talked about, we've been talking to mm-hmm. a lot of people about it all week. Fabulous choice. Number two is we have a home in Pasco, West Pasco, 7612 Thetis Drive. It's priced at $159,900, and this is 1,726 square feet.
Big.
So you're in the low 90s on your price per square foot. It's an amazing location right behind the Walmart out there. Mm-hmm. Great neighborhood, close to everything, three bedroom, two bath. You've got the big family room plus the separate living room at $159,900. That's just one of the best deals out there in West Pasco, so that's a great one. And then a brand new listing. This is just, I'm really excited about this home. This is in Applewood Estates out there in South Richland off of Keene. It's 1330 Cortland. It is gorgeous, gorgeous home, and it's 2657 square feet. 2,657 square feet, three bedroom, two bath, but it's got the bonus room over the garage, so it's got the extra bonus room over the garage, granite in the kitchen, private backyard, super big master, huge, huge three-car garage, and this is the kicker, too, which you don't find in these neighborhoods a lot, is it's got RV parking. It's got the fenced-off RV parking. And, I mean, it is all set up. And this is priced at $335,000. So we're out there, $335,000, Applewood. It's one of the best deals in Applewood right now, and we're really excited about it. So that's our pick three. There's tons of new property still coming on. There's some great deals out there. I don't even think I have to speak about interest rates right now because they're unspeakable. They've dropped to just record. I could go on lows. Mm-hmm. And people are just getting some amazing deals out there. So, Jeremy, as we finish up, I know there's some folks that have thought, gosh, I should do that. I should have filed that. I should do a consultation. I've been meaning for 2 years to do my estate planning, and I just have been held off. What's the phone number that they can get a... First of all, do you have time for our listeners?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. I don't want. What is the number that they can get a hold of you to do these types of things?
It's 547-7587, and the office's website is www.roachlaw.com, roachlaw.com.
Perfect. And as always, if you're driving and don't have time to write that down, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us an email, and we will get you the right information to get over there to Jeremy and Roach Law. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day. I know you had to shuffle some things around to get in here, but we appreciate you doing that. And you're definitely going to have to come back again at another time and talk about the other 20 things on your list that we didn't get to. So.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, Lance.
You betcha. We'll be back next week. Everybody, enjoy the fair and wrap up tonight and have a wonderful weekend. And we will see you guys next Saturday.
Right here on News Talk 870.